This week is the this Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. So important that we pray for our country with all the other believers around our nation. And we are going to open up our church. You can come at 7 o'clock in the morning and pray. You can come at noon to pray, or you can come at 7 o'clock at night. We have three different opportunities for you to come and pray. And we just meet in the prayer room, small group of us gather and pray for our nation. Pray that God will do some great things. So join us. It's very important. If you can't join us, pray wherever you're at. And let's join with all of our believers around the world as we pray for our country. We are returning back to our series in Ephesians about being in Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're at this morning. And we're going to talk about being children of light. You don't have to look very far to see darkness. There's a lot of darkness in our world. And when Paul writes his letter to the church in Ephesus, they were dealing with a lot of darkness. So the message he wrote to them certainly applies to us today. That our response needs to be children of light. So we're going to look at this in Ephesians chapter 5. Stand as we read God's word. Picking up in verse 8. We're actually going down through verse 20, not verse 14, but we'll read on there. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is disobedient, the disobedient do in secret. But everyone exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as wise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you for your word today, Lord, that your word is true, that your word speaks to our hearts, and it's what we need to hear. So we pray that you would speak to us today, and we want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your word this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is getting, and we've seen this in the last few passages we looked at in Ephesians, he's getting very practical. Remember, the first part of Ephesians was all about how we're so blessed, all that God has given us. The last part is about, here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to live. And we need to live as children of light. The first thing we see as we work through this is children of light are changed people. Children of light is a title given to us in the Word for followers of Christ. We are called children of light. That's who we are. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the Scripture says we are new creations. We've been changed. We've been transformed. We're not the same as before we accept Christ. We're changed people. And we've been transformed from darkness to light. It's interesting that Paul says, "You were darkness." That's what they used to be. All of us, before we knew Christ, were darkness. It's interesting to me that it says he doesn't say you were in the darkness, but you were the darkness. You were the darkness. Darkness represents everything that's opposed to God. Darkness in the Bible represents the realm of the devil and all that he does. It is represented in through ignorance, people that are ignorant and believe the lies of the devil. As darkness, you know, before we know Christ, we're just not influenced by the darkness. We become part of the darkness. It sounds kind of rough, but that's what the truth is. We're darkness. That's what he says. Luckily, not luckily, but because of God's grace, he says that's what you used to be. You used to be darkness, but now you're light. And again, he doesn't say you're in the light. He says that other place in Scripture, you're light. It's who we are. Used to darkness used to be who you were. You were part of the darkness. Now you're part of the light. You're light. I like that. You're darkness. You were darkness, and now you're light. Light represents all that is of God, because God is light. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. God in all of his majesty, his purity, his righteousness, his goodness, his holiness, his power, he's light. Intellectually, that represents truth. Morally, it represents holiness. It's interesting, when Jesus was on this earth, he said these words. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will walk in darkness, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So God the Father said he was light. Jesus the Son said he was light. And here he tells us, we are light. We are light. So what it tells me is, to be children of light, we need to be like God, who is light. We need to be like Jesus, who is light. And the only way that we can be light is because the light has come to us in Christ. Scripture said, the prophecy said, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus came, the light of the world, came to earth into the darkness. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the darkness is defeated in our lives. The light of Jesus comes into us, and we become children of light. We are light. So how do we live as light, children of light? That's the question. Well, children of light produce fruit of light. You could call it light fruit, okay? Not in the meaning it's less calories, but it's fruit that's produced from the light that is within us, the light of Jesus Christ. And he tells us here what some of that fruit is. The fruit that is produced is that of goodness. He said the fruit that will be produced is goodness. Now, goodness is a characteristic of God. God is good. So if we're going to be like him, we have to have this goodness. It's also one of the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, one of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. So we don't have goodness on our own. We have goodness because the light of Jesus has come in us. And by his Spirit, he lives in us and produces in us goodness like he is good. What does goodness mean? Well, goodness is love in action. There's a lot of different words in the New Testament that are translated goodness. This one, particular one here, is one that refers to moral excellence, that refers to character and action. Goodness finds its fullest expression in what is when that which is willingly and sacrificially done for others. So as children of light who live in this goodness, the goodness of God, and it flows out of us, they can see it in our character and how we treat others. God-like character. God-like actions. Another fruit that's produced is righteousness. Said the fruit of this is righteousness. Now, God is righteous. So if we're going to be children of light, we're going to be righteous as God is righteous. It's interesting that later on in this letter, Paul talks about the armor that we put on the armor of God. And one of the pieces of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is, there are two facets to righteousness. The first one, we live in a right relationship with God. You know, to be righteous, you have a right relationship with God. Now, you can't be right with God on your own effort. We can't make ourselves righteous. People have tried that, but it doesn't work. The only way you can be right with God is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And through Jesus' death on the cross, he died for our sins. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can be right with God and be righteous in his eyes. We're righteous. Right with God. We live in this right relationship with God. He's the only one that can make us righteous. Now we have to live it out because it's a relationship. We live it out. Live in a right relationship with God. Another part about righteousness is we live in right actions with others. See, God is really concerned in how we deal with others. This relationship with God should affect our relationship with others. And our relationship with others should be done with right actions. Another fruit that's produced is truth. Truth. We know that God is truth. When Jesus came to this earth, he said he was the truth. If we're children of light like God, we will produce the fruit of truth. Honesty, trustworthiness, reliability, integrity. In contrast to the darkness of lies and deception, we will produce truth. That practically means we'll conform to the will of God. We'll accept God's will revealed to us in his word and other ways that he reveals it to us. And we accept it as the truth. And we base our lives upon the truth of God's word. That is his will. And we conform our lives to his will. These fruits will be produced in our lives because the light of Jesus through his spirit is in us. Children of light live to please God. They live to please God. This runs so counter to the world that we live in that is ruled basically by selfishness, living to please yourself. But children of light live to please God. Heard a story of a farmer who was not married. He was a young guy. He was not married, and he was looking for a wife, so he put an ad in a newspaper. He was looking for a farmer wife to come alongside of him, you know, and he said, man, 35, looking for a woman, 25, with a tractor. And afterwards it says, please send picture of tractor. That's an example of selfishness. You guys that aren't farmers didn't get that. Tractors are really important to farmers, okay? He wants a good tractor. We live in a world that's full of selfishness, and we are called to live counter to that selfishness. We should seek to know what pleases the Lord. That's what he says. Find out what pleases the Lord. Not because we have to, but because we want to. If you love someone, you'll want to please them, right? It's natural to want to please someone that you love. So it is with God. Out of love, we seek to know what pleases him. Through reading his word, through prayer, through worship, we seek to know what will please God. And here's a question that kind of haunts me. I wonder what would happen if we spent more time in prayer seeking to know what pleases God than asking him for what pleases us. That question's kind of been bothering me since I wrote that. You see, when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice from heaven, remember, that spoke. And God said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And God was pleased with Jesus, his son, because Jesus was obedient. He lived a life obedient to the Father. So God is pleased when we obey him. It's an easy one. He's pleased when we obey him. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says we're not trying to please men, but please God who tests our hearts. So we should seek to know what pleases God. We also should seek to do what pleases God. It's not enough just to know it. You know, if you love somebody and you want to give them something special and you do a bunch of research and maybe you're going to buy them a gift, a wonderful gift, but you never do it, it doesn't please them too much. Your loved one isn't going to be too impressed that you did the research, that you were thinking about buying it. You got to do it. Same way with God. It's not enough just to know what pleases him. We need to do it. Seek to do what pleases the Lord. Seek to do what pleases the Lord. Jesus is our example. In John 8:29, he says, the one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. When Jesus was on this earth, he did what pleased his heavenly Father. That's how he lived his life. That's why God was pleased with him. So we need to seek to do what pleases the Lord. Children of light live in contrast with the darkness. There's a vast difference between light and darkness. Jesus talked about it. John 3. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. There's darkness, and we live in contrast to that. Paul, writing to the Romans, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. I like that analogy, armor of light. Put aside the deeds of darkness. There is a contrast between darkness and light. So in our lives, We are called to avoid the deeds of darkness. Paul says, have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. Now, we live in a world where there's a lot of darkness, and we as children of light, we are light, producing the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. The deeds of darkness produce no fruit. They are fruitless, it says. We are to avoid the deeds of darkness. Doesn't mean we can't have relationships with people that don't know Christ, that are darkness. Of course we should have relationships with them. But it means we should avoid those deeds of darkness. We don't follow them into their sin to relate with them. We avoid the deeds of darkness. We stay true to the light every time, no compromise. We are not, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. We need to live as children of the light. That means to avoid the deeds of darkness. And through our lives, we expose the deeds of darkness. Not only do we avoid them, but we expose the deeds of darkness. I think this is interesting. Light will expose the deeds of darkness. Jesus said something really interesting in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, we saw that God is light. Jesus came to the earth and said, I am the light of the world. And he told his disciples, you're the light of the world. Isn't that interesting? You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. That's fascinating. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, he says, you, that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. We are the light shining in the darkness. It's like the children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? We need to let it shine. Through our lives that are producing the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth, we can expose the deeds of darkness. When people see you serving others instead of serving yourself, they'll take notice. When they see you walking in purity instead of impurity, people notice. When they see you speaking truthfully instead of dishonestly, people notice. Our lives speak. You ever been around someone and when they find out that you're a believer in Jesus, ever have an experience where they get uncomfortable? You know, it happens to me a lot because I'm a pastor. A lot of times, maybe I'm on an airplane sitting next to someone or traveling someplace, and they say, well, what do you do? I'm a pastor. You know, some people are really warm to that. Some people just, lights are out. I mean, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Please don't look at me. Don't pray for me. I'm nervous because I'm sitting by a pastor. I mean, they freak out. Sometimes our lives make other people nervous because light exposes the darkness, the deeds of darkness, by your example. You know, I got a late start mowing my yard this spring, just a confession. All my neighbors had mowed their yards. Theirs looked really good. But for some reason, I was just really late. My grass was growing up really high. And I thought, this is so embarrassing. But their good yards were witnessing against my bad yard. It was an example, by their example. And I finally, my yard looks pretty good today, by the way. But we live our lives in such a way that by our good example of living in the light, we're an example to others, exposing them that they need to mow their yard. They need to come into the light. So we expose the deeds of darkness through our lives, but sometimes we need to expose them through our words. Sometimes you need to speak up. Sometimes we need to speak up. Sometimes we're far too timid and we don't speak up when we should speak up. Sometimes to not speak up against evil is to silently promote the evil because you haven't said anything. Now, we need to be careful when we expose deeds of darkness. We must do it in love. We are not exposing the deeds of darkness to hurt somebody or punish somebody or embarrass someone. We're exposing the deeds of darkness to show them the light of Jesus. And they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ with all the blessings of knowing Jesus. So we do it in love, not to punish or hurt or to win an argument, but we do it in love. It's really important. Children of light live lives of wisdom, live lives of wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. There's a lot of people that are smart, but they don't have wisdom. We need to have wisdom. And Paul talks about that, the last part of the scripture that I read this morning, that we need to live as wise, not as unwise. And he gives us five different ways we can live in this dark world as children of light, to live in this wise way. First one, we have the wisdom to make the most of every opportunity, he says. The word to make the most of carries the idea of buying, as in buying something in a market, or it was used in that day to buy a slave and bring them in freedom. Close to our word for redeem, to redeem something. We're called to redeem the time God has given us, to make the most of it. We're not supposed to just drift through life. We're supposed to make the most of it because Paul says the days are evil. And we can say in our day the days are evil, but we're supposed to make the most of the opportunities we have. Paul, to write in the Colossians, says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. That is being the light in the dark world. Make the most of those opportunities. Opportunities to pray, to witness, to love others, to encourage, to worship, to serve. God has blessed us with this time. We need to understand that this time that we have, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is it. This is our time. Not preparing us for when it will be our time. This is our time. We need to make the most of the opportunities God gives us. We also have the wisdom to understand God's will. He says here, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. The fool has no desire to understand and do the will of God, but we are to understand what God's will is, and you can know the will of God. Now, some people twist this around and say they want to do something and they put God's stamp on it and say, well, it must be, this is God's will, when it really isn't. Heard a story of a man who really had a really bad donut addiction. And he was going to work, he went by this one donut shop and he just couldn't stop, he couldn't not stop. And so he stopped every day and so he thought, you know, I have to stop, I can't do this anymore. So he took a different route, a longer detour around so he could avoid the donut shop. Well, finally, after he'd done that for a long time, he thought, I got this solved. I haven't had a donut for months. I'm cool. I'm going to go right by there, and I'll be fine. As he got close to the donut shop, he became very, very wanting, craving a donut. And so he prayed, you know, Lord, if you don't want me to get a donut, let there be no parking spot right in front of the donut shop. And then I have to go by. Help me out here. And he says later, he says, it must have been God's will for me to get a donut, because right in front of the donut shop, there was a parking spot that I found on my eighth trip around the block. See, some people twist things to make it look like it's God's will when it really isn't God's will. We need to be careful that we understand God's will. But God will help us know his will. I believe that with all my heart. He'll help us. He wants us to know his will. We need to have the wisdom to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I heard a story back in the old days when the evangelists would travel from place to place and do revivals for 2 or 3 weeks. There was this guy that was doing holiness revivals. And what he would do for the finale of his service, he would put a boy, they had, you know, open ceilings, kind of like us, but they had rafters up there, and he'd put a little boy up there with a dove in a cage, and then at the right moment, he'd say, and the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit, and the boy would let out the dove to fly around the room. It worked good most of the time. This one particular service, he called out, and the dove didn't come down. Called out again, the dove didn't come down. Then he heard the voice of the anxious boy who said, sir, a yellow cat just ate the Holy Spirit. Should I throw down the cat? Kind of ruined the whole atmosphere of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I share that story with you because being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about gimmicks or tricks or some big show. It's being surrendered completely to God. Let him be completely in control of our lives, to trust him with all of our heart. And God, the Holy Spirit, comes in and purifies our hearts and takes over. He fills us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is so important. Paul writes, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you get drunk on wine or whatever alcohol it is, you are under the influence and control of that substance. So Paul is saying, don't be under the influence or control of anything except the Holy Spirit. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be under his control. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is really the key to this whole passage, by the way. Because there's no way that we can be light unless the Holy Spirit's in us. He's the one that fills us. He's the one that, if we have the light of Jesus in us through his Spirit, then it's going to come out in the way we live. Has to be in us first. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and he controls us, and he's living in us, and we're walking in the Spirit, then that light is going, we will truly be children of light, living like children of God, light. Because of that, the goodness, the righteousness, and the truth will come out. Because of that, we will live to please God. Because of that, people will see the deeds of darkness will be exposed in love with others. We need to have the wisdom to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We also need to have the wisdom to worship God. Paul talks here about that we need to worship. Talks about different kinds of songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So in Paul's day, they had three services each day. First for the psalm singers. Second service was the hymn singers. Third service was the spiritual song singers. I'm just making that up. All I'm trying to tell you is that they had different kinds of music, okay? And people have favorite kinds of music. It's okay. But what really, really matters is he says, make music in your heart to the Lord. That's what matters. Do you know God doesn't really care what style of music we use? He cares about our hearts. We need to worship him from our heart, which I think what that means is we really mean it. It's not just superficial, not just words we sing. We really mean it when we worship God. It's from our hearts. We worship him. How does worship help us live as children of light in the world of darkness? It keeps our focus on God, who is light, who defeats the darkness. Lastly, we have wisdom to be thankful to God. We are better equipped to live as children of light if we're thankful to God for everything. Paul writes that, and remember when Paul writes this, he writes from prison. But he says, be thankful to God for everything. For everything. Thankfulness is a powerful weapon against the darkness. The darkness will try to convince you you have nothing to be thankful for. But we have so much to be thankful for. It's a powerful weapon in darkness. Thankfulness. We are to live as children of light because we are children of light. I kind of picture it as an army, if you will. We are light warriors, taking the light of Jesus into our world. And light always wins against darkness. Praise God. Light always wins against darkness. So I don't want anybody to be discouraged today because we live in a dark world. Be encouraged because you are children of light. Keep living as children of light. You might not think you're making any difference, but as you live as a children of light, you are making a difference. We can make a difference. We can punch holes in the darkness in the name of Jesus and bring glory and honor to him. We're going to close our service with a time of worship and opportunity for you to pray. If there's anything that you need to pray about today, this altar is just a place where you can come and call on the name of the Lord and pray, and he will welcome you. He will hear your prayers, and you can trust him in whatever your situation is. Let's stand together and worship our Lord. And like I said, if you want to come pray, please come. We'll pray together.